Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Guess what? Rocket can. We thank you for being with us. You can always listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on SiriusXM, Channel 206. And stream us using the CBS Sports app along with the Odyssey app, formerly the Radio.com app. On the CBS Sports app, not only can you listen to CBS Sports Radio and the DA Show, but also you can read Pete Prisco's columns, senior NFL columnist. And I will say, Pete is such a phenomenal follow this time of year. I really feel like this is some of his best work because there is this deluge of information that comes at you from GMs and scouts and agents that all push a certain way. And Pete will oftentimes cut against the grain. And so you hear the same thing over and over and over again. And he tries to balance that with cutting through what may be some BS that's out there around this season. So Pete Prisco joins us this morning here on the show. Pete, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, DA? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always good to talk NFL with you. And this has been such a weird year for mock drafts because let's just look at Mac Jones. Once upon a time was the 10th pick overall, the 12th pick overall, maybe even lower. And now many are projecting him to go 3 to the San Francisco 49ers. Let's just start there. What do you think happened with Mac Jones's crazy rise over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I don't understand it, to be honest with you. Look, I like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is a good player. I would have picked him as probably the fourth quarterback in this class. I don't see trading two first-round picks to go up and get Mac Jones. Everybody says, oh, well, if Kyle Shanahan's doing it or John Lynch is doing it, it's a great move. Really? They passed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes to take Solomon Thomas a couple years ago. Now, I thought Solomon Thomas would be a good player, but in lieu of that, they had signed Jimmy Garoppolo. So, look. Everything they do isn't perfect. They're good people. John Lynch is a very good GM. Kyle Shanahan's an outstanding coach. That doesn't mean they make mistakes, and I think this would be a mistake. I think if you give that big of a draft haul to go up and get Mac Jones, it would be a mistake. He's going to be a good quarterback, but I've talked to too many people around the league, myself included, who don't know if he's generally a high first-round pick. I think he's more of a late first round pick than he is early in the first round, and they made the move to go up and get him. I think Justin Fields is a better player. I think he's a better prospect, and I think he'll have a better NFL career.
So talking to your sources, what do you believe is truth here? Do you think the Niners are that enamored with Mac Jones to trade up to that slot at number 3?
You know, it's interesting. Some say yes, and some say let's wait and see because they don't believe it either. And the reason they don't believe it, they think Shanahan knows more about Justin Fields than he's leading on. He's going to go to his actual second pro day. He didn't go to the first. That made him everybody say, hey, look, it's Mac Jones. Mac Jones didn't have a great pro day. And so I think there's still some uncertainty there. But, the leader in the clubhouse is Mac Jones.
So let's talk about the Dan Orlovsky situation. Orlovsky had reported that he had heard Justin Fields is not one of those first guy in, last guy out, work ethic type guys. Some questions surrounding that. He got a lot of blowback for that, specifically from Kirk Herbstreit, who's also an Ohio State guy we know, in his own company. Orlovsky basically had to do a mea culpa and tape a video saying, well, I did more digging and I found out that there's plenty of people that think his work ethic is great, namely his quarterback coach and one of the assistants at Ohio State. What do you believe about Justin Fields' work ethic, and what do you believe is right or wrong to report on in this situation?
I'll start out with his work ethic. I hadn't heard any of that from guys I talked to, so I don't know where he got that from. But if he got it and he reported it and he were people he trusted, there's nothing wrong with that. Everything doesn't have to be all sunshine when it comes to draft picks. And that's part of the problem with the draft evaluation as far as the media goes. Everybody's not perfect. Two of the five quarterbacks that are taken in the first round will bust. That's a fact. Look at the numbers. History says it will be one will be great, two might be good, two will probably bust. And yet here we are less than a month out, and everything is sunshine. Look how great these kids are. They do no wrong. And we know better than that. And yet when a guy like Dan Orlovsky goes out and puts that out there, immediately he is attacked. Everybody hates anonymous sources. Well, what guy is going to give you the real evaluation on a player with his name on it if it's going to be a negative? If it's a positive, oh, we can put those out. If a guy comes out and says, oh, he's the greatest quarterback in the world, there will be no bust, you can put that out if it's an anonymous source. But if it's something negative, you can't put it out. I don't agree with that. I think Bob McGinn, who now works for The Athletic and worked in Green Bay for years, had trusted his sources and his scouts enough that he was able to put out really good draft information. A lot of it was anonymously, and everybody pushed back on it. It's gotten to the point now, you trust your source or you don't. If two people, three people that you've trusted in this league for a long time tell you that some player does not put the work in, what that does is it makes you go back and do more digging. Orlovsky went back and did more digging because the media cult, came down hard on him, and he shouldn't have done that. You should always go back and do more digging. I get it, but don't do it for the reason that people push back on you. And look, some of the best information I have in my head about these players over the years has always been anonymously, and it doesn't mean I put it out there necessarily, but sometimes you got to counterbalance it and check it and cross-check everything. But a lot of it, in hindsight, has turned out to be true.
Pete Prisco joins us this morning on the show, CBS Sports, senior NFL columnist. I think that's such an important point here. There are going to be plenty of busts in this draft, and some of them will be because the guys don't work hard. Some of them will be because of baggage. Some of them will be like what the Tennessee Titans have dealt with, where a guy just wasn't the same guy that you heard all the applause about. But there's such a fear of reporting something negative that nobody actually does it. So when it comes down to it, since we don't hear much critique of these guys in real form, how much can we believe on the flip side of all the wonderful things that we hear?
You know, the other thing is too, DA, and I sent this out on a tweet the other day. When teams go into a school to investigate a player's character and his background and how he handles himself, they go to people in the building. They go to the equipment guy. They go to the lady in the lunchroom. They go to the secretary, and they ask them, and they say, how is he here? How does he handle himself? Is he disrespectful? Is he a nice guy? Is he accommodating? Does he follow the rules? And they believe their sources when they put their information down on the paper, and they take it back to the team. And the team takes that information and actually uses it to make the draft pick. It's no different than that. Trust your sources. If you have reliable, trusted sources in the business, guys that won't steer you in a different direction, then you should listen to them. And yes, cross-check everything, but don't bow down because everybody else didn't have the same negative stuff that you had.
You are very high on Trevor Lawrence and very high on his potential impact for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, I saw you mention, do you think the Jaguars are going to be a power team in the AFC for the next decade with Trevor Lawrence? What makes you confident about that?
Because when you get that quarterback, you have staying power. Sustainable success comes with the quarterback position, and all you have to do is look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs were okay before they got Patrick Mahomes, but now every single season that he's there playing at this level that he's playing at right now, they are considered a Super Bowl favorite, and it's because of Patrick Mahomes. There's good players around him. Don't get me wrong. Tyreek Hill is an outstanding player. Travis Kelce, great player. Offensive line, mess. Defensive line, they didn't pressure the quarterback well enough last year. There's problems on defense. And yet, here we are, in April, we're going to sit here and say, who's the favorite in the AFC? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think Trevor Lawrence has that ability in Jacksonville. I think he's going to put them in the mix for the next decade. He's one of those guys that can do that. And, you know, there are other young quarterbacks that are going to do that to their teams. I think, you know, Justin Herbert's going to do it to the Chargers. They're going to be around for a long time. I think Joe Burrow is going to do it to the Bengals when they eventually fill in those holes around them. That's what great quarterbacks do. They give you sustainable success. We've seen a lot of teams over the years make a 13-3 run and then fall off the ledge. And the reason they did it, in Jacksonville in 2017 is the perfect example. That team was in a whisker. They led the Patriots by 10 points in the fourth quarter on the road of going to the Super Bowl. It was a mirage because they didn't have the quarterback. If you have the quarterback, you have staying power.
So do you think it's Trevor Lawrence that can do that for the Jaguars, and then there's a big drop-off between him and Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and the rest of the guys, or do you think there are multiple quarterbacks in this draft that can do that for their teams?
Well, I know there's one for sure. There might be two. That's to be determined. And again, it's getting inside these guys' heads is hard to evaluate. It's the hardest part about evaluating quarterbacks. From a physical standpoint, from a watch-him-on-tape standpoint, it's Trevor Lawrence, number one, clear number one, by the way. All the people don't want to put Zach Wilson up there. There's a big difference between the two of them. I do like Wilson. I like Fields. I'd probably rank them Lawrence one, Fields two, Wilson three, or maybe 1A and 1, I mean 2A and 2B because they're that close for me. And then down to Jones. I like Davis Mills. He's another guy that I've been on him. I know a lot of people have come around on him, but I've been on Davis Mills for about 2 months now. I think he's going to be a steal in this draft, the kid out of Stanford. But to answer your question, big difference between Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the group.
What do you think about Zach Wilson's pro day? It's one of those pro days that went viral. He had his off-balance throw down the field. That's a beautiful thing to watch, but ultimately I'm not sure how much that all translates when you're not playing against any defense and then you have to go into the NFL. But Wilson's that kid this year that just makes your jaw drop because of what he looked at with the pro day. What's your vibe on how much you can glean from that?
He's got a nice arm. We knew that before he had his pro day. And I think sometimes we get way too enamored with these pro days. Look, they're throwing against air. That's not the NFL. I've always said the best way to evaluate a quarterback is put defensive backs and receivers on the field and let them have a 7-on-7 drill. We'll see how he throws in that situation. Give him the play and go. That's how you can evaluate a quarterback if you really want to do a pro day. We knew he could throw the football. We know all these guys could throw the football, some better than others. And he has a really good arm and a great release, and he can throw on the move. We get that. But it's about playing the game. How do you stand in there when you have bodies around you? Will you stare down the gun barrel and take the shot in the middle of your chin and still make the throw? I'm not saying you can't do it, but, boy, these pro days, we have a tendency, particularly in the Twitter media cult, to go nuts over them when the reality is they're nothing like playing football.
Pete Prisco joins us, well said, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. It was kind of hysterical about a month ago when we were getting those reports that some draft boards had Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Some GMs think he's a better quarterback prospect. Phooey, come on. There's no way that was ever real, right?
Well, here's what you need to do when you look at that. What can Zach Wilson do that Trevor Lawrence can't do? He's just as athletic. He moves as much. He's got just as good an arm. His release is probably a little bit better and quicker, but he doesn't play in the level of competition, doesn't have as many starts. So what does he do that Trevor Lawrence can't do? And, oh, by the way, Trevor Lawrence is about 5-6 inches taller than he is. I mean, there's a big difference there. One guy can stand tall in the pocket. The other one's going to be 6'1" standing in the pocket. That's not to mean that you can't do it. We've seen a lot of guys that can do it. Russell Wilson can do it. So Drew Brees did it. But it's different than when you can stand tall in the pocket. So I don't get it. I know there are guys in the league that really like Zach Wilson. I mean, I've talked to plenty. Some of them, they won't go that far, but some of them really think he's right up there with them. And so I get it. I understand it. And, again, it all goes to what's your situation when you get to the NFL, and do you put the work in? Are you the guy that shows up early and leaves late? Will you take the playbook home? Will you put a film room in your basement like Peyton Manning did? And that's the ideal scenario when you want to study who did and who didn't. It's Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. Peyton Manning loved the game, lived the game, and Ryan Leaf didn't. And when Ryan Leaf you know, had all the tools in the world and it didn't work. It worked for Peyton Manning, who probably didn't have all the tools in the world because he put the work in. And I think that's where it's hard evaluating quarterbacks. I go back to a couple of my old evaluations. I love Patrick Mahomes. I had him clearly as the number one quarterback in that draft class. People thought I was nuts. But there was something about watching him on tape. And I didn't know him. I didn't know the work ethic. I do most of my evaluation watching the tape and talking to the scouts and personnel people. Josh Allen, another one. He was my clear number one in that class, clear number one. Now, it's working out where that's the case. But for 3 years leading into the draft, or 2 years leading the draft process, but the first three years in the league, the guy took a beating, just an overall beating. And it was because one guy said it, so two guys said it, so four guys said it, so eight guys said it. The draft process, he's not accurate. He can't get accurate. He stinks. He played in bad league. Now all of a sudden, look where Josh Allen is. That doesn't mean I'm foolproof, because I've had my fair share of getting him wrong, too. I thought Christian Ponder would be good. It's a tough position to evaluate, but I think there's too many people that follow each other. Where was everybody in January saying Mac Jones was going to be the third overall pick in the draft, or he should be the third overall pick in the draft? But now one guy says it, 2, 4, 8, 16, Mac Jones be the third pick in the draft. I don't agree with it, and just because Kyle Shanahan says it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. He's been wrong, too. Look at his record with his quarterbacks. Everybody says he wins all the time. It's not been great, and here's one more. If he had run the ball twice in the Super Bowl with the Falcons, he'd have a ring on his finger. So he's not perfect either. So these guys are not beyond criticism, and I think sometimes we look at a draft process and say, oh, you can't criticize that guy, can't criticize that guy, can't criticize this team. Yes, you can. That's part of the job, and that's why we do it.
Oh, excellent stuff. See, this is why you got to follow Pete Prisco around draft time. He cuts through the BS at Prisco CBS. Read him at CBSSports.com and watch him at CBS Sports HQ. As they break down the draft, they do such a good job at CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ, bringing you all the info for the draft. Pete, it's always great to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it.
You lit my fire today, BA. I love it.
Great stuff. Pete Prisco, always excellent, excellent, excellent stuff this morning on the show. When we come back, The Miz ahead of WrestleMania, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Also on SiriusXM, Channel 206. And you can stream us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app. Now, the new update has that stream back. The last version did not, unfortunately, but now they've updated that, so that's good. Also, the old Radio.com app has been updated to Odyssey. That's the name of our company, a rebrand recently. And so you can check out the Odyssey app to listen to us as well. And remember, you can watch us every single morning. Also, watch us by simply going to watchda.com or by going to our Twitch channel at CBS Sports Radio. I should also remind you, if you have a smart speaker around the house, we have one in the basement in our home office down there. Also, we have one, well, my in-laws have a bunch of them around the kitchen and the living room area. It's easy for us when we're around the smart speaker to just simply listen to the PGP or listen to the latest episode of the show by simply saying, play CBS Sports Radio. Now just add in by Odyssey. And if you say play CBS Sports Radio or play the permission granted podcast, you're good. It just automatically pops up in that smart speaker. So that's an easy way to always find the show, either live or the podcasts of it. Play the DA Show podcast. Play the Permission Granted podcast. It's great. And your smart speaker should be able to find that easily. So if you just make sure, if you're listening to us live, to add in the Odyssey part, listen to CBS Sports Radio or play CBS Sports Radio by Odyssey. You should be fine and good to go. It's a very cool way to listen to us. You know, it's amazing how much you can consume from such a distant place. You know, I've now been hosting the DA Show in some shape or form since 2003. And for the first 10 years of my career or so, my parents could never listen because I was never in their area. My parents were in New York, and I was either in Fort Myers, Florida, or Kansas City, or Miami, and they could never listen. There was never a live stream of the show automatically. And now, no matter where you are in the world, you can just simply play on your smart speaker or on your phone or what have you, and you've got it. So that's a pretty cool technological advancement. Now, speaking of this weekend, April the 10th on Saturday at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, WrestleMania. It's on the WWE Network. It's also streaming on Peacock. WrestleMania continues 2:03. And joining us this morning on the show, a man that's going to be center of it, The Miz. Dropping on by. The Miz, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I feel amazing. I am ready. I am primed up and ready to go for WrestleMania. I don't think I can be stopped.
This is a big deal. It's a huge moment in your career. You've won championships before, many of them. In fact, this is a tag team effort. Battle of the Immortals. You and John Morrison are taking on Bad Bunny. Now, even non-wrestling fans have heard of Bad Bunny, and there's some bad blood between you guys. There's been some pranks and some backlash and some retaliation. Take us through how this rivalry started.
It all started when Bad Bunny had a performance at Royal Rumble, and I feel like when you are backstage and you are in our locker room, you show an immense amount of respect. I felt like I was slighted by Bad Bunny, and it kind of escalated from there. And let's face it, Bad Bunny has overstayed his welcome. It's one thing to do a performance. It's another thing to keep coming back week after week after week. And trust me, I know how big Bad Bunny is. I know he's one of the biggest recording artists in the world. I know he just won a Grammy. But I feel like a person like that should stay in his lane. When you come into WWE and you come into my territory, my world, and you don't show me the respect I feel I deserve, things will happen. And you say pranks, but I don't think painting his $3.6 million Bugatti was a prank. I think it was a message and a lesson that should have been learned, that you don't mess with me, or I'm going to use your $3.6 million car as a canvas for my artwork. And honestly, that was quite fun. And honestly, I think I'm going to have a lot of fun this Saturday at WrestleMania. Bad Bunny, myself, John Morrison, and Damian Priest match will be night one. Obviously, there's two nights of WrestleMania this year, and it's going to be absolute insanity.
Yeah, you and John Morrison go into the hangar with all those beautiful cars, and Bad Bunny's a car connoisseur. You find his Bugatti, and you just start painting on it, and you're painting the messages, you're painting your name. You go in there, you're doing your best Picasso impersonations. You had to know that the message that was going to send. What were you planning on painting? How long did that come to brainstorm that idea?
It was kind of easy. As soon as I saw him pull in with a Bugatti, I said, "Where's the paint?" I feel like I made that $3.6 million car into a priceless piece of art. You know, he'll probably get more. Honestly, I thought he might thank me because it's probably worth more than it is now. I mean, with my autograph on it, I mean, it's obviously it's a one of a kind. It's custom paint job.
Well, it begins also with him taking the guitar and smashing you in the back in the middle of the ring. How outside the lines was that for him to pull that?
I mean, how many messages do you have to send to someone to say you're not wanted? Like, we don't, like, we are gearing up for our biggest, like, pay-per-view, like, our biggest match, WrestleMania, which is going to be on Peacock. And let's face it, like, this is our biggest thing. This is number one. And so when you're gearing up for something like this, other talent, other people on the WWE roster have put their blood, sweat, and tears to getting to WrestleMania, to have that moment that they could possibly share with their family, with their friends, so their friends can call them up and say, "Oh, my God, it's like a Mania." Some guys like are not going to be on WrestleMania because Bad Bunny is there. So now I have to make him earn that spot. I have to make him earn the respect that I feel other superstars want to give to him, but they don't have it yet, and I'm going to beat the respect into them.
The Miz joins us this morning on the show ahead of a two-night spectacular WrestleMania coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Battle of the Immortals coming up on Saturday. And what's interesting is that you guys have fought in front of virtual fans now. So there's screens in the in the rows of fans and you see their faces and you see their reaction, but they're not actually there. How has it been to transition into that type of world in wrestling without the friendly normally that are in front of you and real people?
I'll tell you what, I can't wait for WrestleMania to have a live audience, to have live human beings there. WWE has done a tremendous job with the Thunderdome, with the virtual audience. As a matter of fact, they did such a great job that other shows have copied our what we've been doing. And so it's always nice that when other people take from what you have made an example of. But, you know, WWE's done a great job at making it feel like a live audience, but it's virtual crowd. Now at WrestleMania, there's going to be live human beings. I'm going to be able to feel that energy because that's what we feed off of, and that's what we live for. So I cannot wait. I'm super excited.
Last time you joined us, I'd asked you about growing up and whether you were a favorite of your friends or whether you were a guy that people like to pick on. And you said, you know what, I just have a punchable face. I have a very punchable face. I've always had a very punchable face. And I wonder, you work alongside Snickers. Had you just had Snickers growing up to give all the people that wanted to punch you in the face a Snickers bar, would you have been in a lot less fights?
You never know. I mean, right now, never in my wildest dreams when I was a kid did I think that you could get a Snickers bar with my look. Like, they made a strategic, like, custom-made Snickers bar that you can get at Dollar General that says awesome on it. My catchphrase is, I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. And you can go to Dollar General and get a Snickers bar that says awesome on it. To me, that's incredible. You know, as a kid growing up, you know, I love Snickers. Snickers was fun. I remember going to convenience, walking in, grabbing one. Now I go to Dollar General and get one that says awesome on it, that's dedicated to me. It's incredible. So I'm really excited the fact that, you know, WrestleMania is presented by Snickers and that I have my own Snickers bar. It's
pretty amazing.
It's surreal.
Yeah, you, Babe Ruth, Reggie Jackson, those are the guys that got their own candy bars. Pretty good. That's a pretty good company to be in.
That's not a bad company to be in. I'll take it.
So the Snickers Hunger Bar, available right now exclusively at Dollar General across the country. They're around for only a limited time, so grab them before they are gone, as Snickers is an exclusive presenting sponsor of WWE's WrestleMania. Coming up, a two-night event, and in front of actual fans this weekend, which is so awesome to have fans back in buildings across the country for sports, including WrestleMania. The Miz joining us this morning on the show. Good luck this weekend. Put Bad Bunny in his place, and we always appreciate the time, bud.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. And also, with the entire weekend, I've got a real busy weekend, but also Monday is Miz and Mrs., our premiere of all new episodes of Miz and Mrs., my reality show. It's a family-friendly show that makes you laugh out loud, and you're definitely not going to want to miss it right after Monday Night Raw on the USA Network, 11 p.m. So tune into that as well. So many things to watch.
Excellent. Great job. Thanks, Miz.
Thank you.
The Miz joining us this morning here on the show. When he says it's an honor to be here, I think he really means it. The man is on a Snickers bar. Do you think he's in an honor to be on a show that recreated the 1919 spaghetti eating contest between Babe Ruth's roommate and an ostrich from the Jacksonville Zoo? Or does he just say that? The Miz and Bad Bunny against one another, foes in a tag team match coming up here for WrestleMania. What a day for Pete the Body Bellotti to be off, or else I would ask him his take on this, but Pete's off today. House closing finally after the long-awaited national nightmare is finally over. The saga has finally come to a conclusion. Pete and his beautiful wife Bridget and their son Timmy have a new home. They're closing on it, so that's why he's out today. Of all the days, though, when we actually are talking WrestleMania. Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Well, good morning. And if Sean's on the Peter Schwartz beat, I'm on the Peter Bellotti beat. And today's actually move-in day. The closing's already happened. Today's move-in day for the Bellottis.
Oh, really? Wow. So that's that's an intense day. I remember our move-in day. It's not easy, but he's not going very far away from where he was before, right? It's just a town over, two towns over?
Yeah, but moving is moving. I mean, you're moving down the block. It sucks. So, I mean, there's a couple of added benefits that you can drive things back and forth, but moving still is one of the worst things in the world.
And you throw in he was against the clock here. This has to be done before WrestleMania. No way he wanted to spend Sunday moving on WrestleMania Day. That TV and cable's got to get hooked up in time.
Well, the reason that I'm kind of poo-pooing the difficulty level of this is because my wife and I moved out of the city, out of Brooklyn, into a home like an hour and a half away. And so when we moved, not only was the degree of difficulty heightened because it was getting out of a brownstone in Brooklyn and into a tight street with a huge moving truck. Like, moving in New York City is one of the most ruthless experiences ever, because you've got to somehow get a moving truck onto your little side street, and there usually are no elevators. It's all walk-ups, and traffic is going crazy, and you need permits for every building, and it is relentless. But then also to get that truck, extricate that from the city across the river, and then know that you can't just go back if you missed anything, because that's a long drive, and you've got to make sure you are with this fleet the entire way, is brutal. So Pete getting out of Long Beach and going to, you know, a couple towns over shouldn't be that stressful. But of course, moving is always awful. I always say that, like, the one job I probably could not handle mentally, forget physically, is moving. Because after you do it once, you're like, okay, thank God I got all my stuff in and I'll never have to do that again. That's what you always think. Imagine if you had to do it again the end of the day, like you had two jobs that day. And then the next day you did it twice. And the next day, like, you're going through all of that pressure and stress, and it's not even your stuff. There's no conclusion to your journey. It's just that's what you do every day.
Way they handle your things, I don't think they feel the same pressure that the moving person does. They're just throwing stuff in a truck and driving somewhere else. They don't seem to have that much pressure to care about your stuff getting nicely to the next place.
It's still just lifting and wrapping and boxing and taping and lifting and moving and lifting and climbing upstairs and climbing downstairs and getting into elevators and out of elevators. It's just, forget it.
Well, at least Pete takes things in stride. I'm sure he'll be in a perfectly good mood tomorrow when he's back in control. So we're about an hour away from Dustin Johnson beginning his Masters. He is trying to become the fourth to win back-to-back green jackets. Tiger was the last in 2001 and 2. Checking on the leaderboard right now, a young man named Hudson Swafford has the lead. Ooh. He is 2 under through 7 holes this morning. Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth all play this afternoon. 4 years after they were first connected to the FBI probe of recruiting corruption, then long after the NCAA handed down 5 major infractions, Arizona fired men's basketball coach Sean Miller yesterday. He had 1 year left on his contract and apparently lost support among the school and boosters. Now, I saw one basketball writer suggest yesterday that Arizona take a shot at Scott Drew. For now, he is still remembering that he and Baylor are national champs.
It really hadn't hit me yet because, last night was the first time we got any sleep. And I woke up and I'm like, all right, who do we got next? What's for practice? I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have to play anymore. We're good. We won.
Drew, a guest with our buddy Zach Gelb yesterday. As for pro poops, 2 of the best in the West met in the desert.
Booker into the lane. Fakes, can't get the shot off. Gets it out to Chris Paul. 3 seconds. Paul for 3. Shazam! Oh, brother! 114-108 Suns, a minute to go in overtime.
That's Al McCoy on Suns Radio. Chris Paul at 29, 35 for Devin Booker as Phoenix topped Utah 117-113 in OT. The Suns have won 7 in a row. So have the Nuggets, who beat the Spurs last night 106-96. Kevin Durant with 17 points after missing 23 games. His Nets routed the Pelicans 139-111. The Grizzlies won in Atlanta 131-113. And the Wizards won in Orlando 131-116. Russell Westbrook, 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 15 assists. Just 2 night games in baseball. Colorado blanked Arizona 8-0. Antonio Senzatella tossing 8 scoreless, and the Orioles outlasted the Yankees 4-3 in 11 to avoid a 3-game sweep. Pete Prisco mentioned this. Ohio State expected to hold a second pro day next Wednesday. Justin Fields will throw again, allowing more teams to see him. Some of them, like the Niners, went went to Alabama instead back on March 30th. From the NHL, the Wild snapping Colorado's 15-game point streak 8-3, and the Leafs beat the Canadiens 3-2. Toronto goalie Jack Campbell, 32 saves for his team record 10th consecutive win. And the French Open delayed a week to May 30th because of France's ongoing battle with COVID. DA, back to you.
Interesting. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, our analytics question today on the poll, do you think you could competitively eat, at least keep it close, against an ostrich? And your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Apex DA show story today. Back in 1919, spring training 101 years ago, 102 years ago. 101? 102. The Yankees had Babe Ruth's roommate, Ping Bodie, in a spaghetti-eating contest against an ostrich named Percy from the Jacksonville Zoo. That actually happened. Supposedly, Ping Bodie crushed the ostrich. Our question today, do you think you could keep it competitive in an eating contest against an ostrich? 80% of you said, no chance! 20% had that confidence, of course I could. Now, what do ostriches eat? I'm glad you asked. They prefer plants, especially roots and seeds and leaves. They also eat bugs like locusts. They eat lizards and snakes and rodents, according to the San Diego Zoo. They also eat sand and pebbles to help grind up their food inside their gizzards. That is your advanced analytics this morning. Only on this show. By the way, today, April the 8th, 1974, so 47 years ago, Hank Aaron hit 715, passing Babe Ruth on this night, 1974. A momentous, iconic night, but who could believe that that's nearly 50 years ago? Nearly 50 years ago now, Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, and that's kind of like when I was growing up, Babe Ruth was 50 years earlier. Maybe a little bit more, but still. I mean, Hank Aaron is now as far away from today's kids as Babe Ruth was when many of us were kids. That's just insane. Just crazy. We've had a lot to get to this morning on the show, and this ostrich story is just one in a million. And frankly, I don't know if there's ever been a more interesting newspaper article to read. Jeremy tweets, I love how descriptive journalism was back in the 1910s and 20s. I feel like I was actually at that eating contest. I actually found the newspaper article from 1919 of the eating contest, and we recreated it for today's show. And when you hear the detail and blow by blow, you realize just how elite sports writing had to be back then. I mean, they took a lot of poetic license, a lot, because there were no cameras. So you had to paint this picture. You had to be the narrator, the storyteller. So these guys were just elite at description and at word usage and at adjectives. They're just, when you read an account about what Babe Ruth did that day at Yankee Stadium, it's so unlike what we get today. It is filled with so many descriptors. But you also know that some of it has to be fake because there's no way to double check any of this. But it makes it great. Rob the 321 tweeted, DA, I'm guaranteeing that if Peter Schwartz was alive back then, he would have been begging for the used fork from Ping Bodie that he flung into the crowd, or a baseball asking for the ostrich Percy to sketch a picture on it. Jeremy tweets, the background music for the retelling of the ostrich eating contest was absolutely perfect. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
So it's gotten so ugly that people are turning away from the ostrich nearly dying from the spaghetti. Is that what's happening? They started to the door for humanitarian reasons. Round seven. Even strong men begin to edge back from the ring.
Now you see Badlands Booker. Thank goodness we have newspapers here. It's not to read.
They began to fear that in a few more rounds, Percy would explode. Again, they're worried that the ostrich is going to actually explode. Round eight. In this round, it was plain even to the layman that Bodhi was merely toying with his food while Percy the Ostrich was dying on his feet. Round nine, the start of the round, even hardened eaters were shouting to Wilbert Robinson to throw up the sponge. Do you want your bird killed, they demanded.
And now he's taking him out of the bun. He's going bunless.
Not while he's on his feet, replied Robinson. Brutality. So now you've got the entire crowd saying you're killing your ostrich, throw in the towel, and he won't? Round 10, the ostrich staggered out of his corner with his beak sagging. It was plain that he had little further to go. Bodhi grinned. Round 11, the ostrich barely waddled from his corner. Again, they're now after 10 platters of spaghetti.
He's putting his face down. Is Mraz going to survive?
The ostrich barely waddled from his corner. Percy's eyes were bloodshot, and his sides were heaving as he towed his platter. He was a badly beaten ostrich. Bodhi was almost finished with his platter when Percy dropped to his knees. The timekeeper began to count. Bodhi ferociously downed the last morsel and stepped back to survey his fallen antagonist.
And oh my, this has gone wild.
As the timekeeper muttered, the final 10, the ostrich sank back to rise no more. W.O. McGee.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Imagine that writer, W.O. McGeehan, on Sports Reporters, where they bring him on, co-host PTI, because Kornheiser is out. Mike, I was there. I was at the Ostrich versus Ping Bodhi contest. I can tell you, LeBron does not have the clutch gene. Ping had it. Yeah, I think we got to read more newspaper accounts from the 1910s and 1920s with that crazy vaudeville 1920s music behind it to fill up some shows during the summer.
I need the backstory on how they got this ostrich to act like an actual boxer, going back and forth to his corner, asking, you know, cut me, Mick, and going back up there and eat. Like, he's an ostrich. If he didn't want to have any more spaghetti, he wouldn't right, have eaten any more spaghetti. So how did he keep eating through all of this? I don't understand.
It's so true. Why did the ostrich continue to go out there to compete against Ping Bodhi if he was about to croak from eating spaghetti?
And did the ostrich know if he was winning or losing?
And the audience is like, throw in the towel, throw up the sponge, you're killing an ostrich. And his trainer's like, no way, we won't give in. Like, how can you force the ostrich to keep competing? What is in it for him? That's when spring training was really spring training. When you were, you know, hitting fungos with little elm saplings. And then your cleats. I once brought in an old banana, I think, or there was an old banana in the studio for like 3 weeks. It was probably Shep's. And Mraz said it looked like Ty Cobb's cleat. When your cleats and your gloves look like an old Shep banana. That's when spring training was really spring training. We used to compete against ostriches and pasta eating contests. Tomorrow morning, it's Target Demo Friday, plus Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to James Boccioni on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. See you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.